Well, he's back. The most hated and loved man in social media, Donald Trump, is coming back with his Truth social network, and it is going to make liberals go insane. Donald Trump Jr. came out and talked about the return of the president, Donald Trump, to social media. And he also said, more than that, this will give a voice back to those who need it, those who've been silenced. Now, if you've been silenced by social media, shadow banned by social media, had been shut down, or they take away your ability to post certain stories, which has happened to me and many other conservatives, when you hear something like this, you get excited for good reason. So what exactly is Truth Social? Here's a little bit more about it from Donald Trump Jr.
Joining us now, Donald Trump Jr. I want to stop with this big news. I'm looking at justthenews.com. Our friend John Solomon, editor-in-chief, Trump announces formation of own media company social platform to counter censorship, to give a voice to all. And what can you tell us about it?
Well, Sean, it's a big deal. You know, for so long, big tech has suppressed conservative voices. If you're pro-Second Amendment, if you're pro-life, if you're religious, if you're just a conservative, you have been in Facebook jail, you have been deplatformed, you have been demonetized. What we're trying to do is create a big tent, an open and free network for people to be able to communicate, to exercise your First Amendment rights. And so tonight, my father signed a definitive merger agreement to form what will ultimately be the Trump Media and Technology Group and Truth Social, a platform for everyone to express their feelings. Big tech and all of those on the left for so long, Sean, have been saying, well, if you don't like the rules that we really enforce only one way on our platforms, go create your own. And so we did just that. So that's going to launch very soon. We're going to be in beta testing in the next few weeks. Full launch first quarter of 22. It's going to be exciting, and we're looking to give a voice back to the American people. You saw what they did to the president of the United States. We want to make sure that Americans have a voice. No political discrimination. We're going to cancel culture. We're going to stand up and push back against the tyranny of big tech. I think America has been waiting for this. We've been working on it for a while. We've kept it under wraps, but now we are in process to get that going. To return our voice back to those who need it and who want it. Conservatives everywhere, and frankly, people everywhere, because we want a discourse amongst everyone. Well, not a one-sided platform where if someone on the left disagrees with you, they just cancel you and wipe you out. So go to truthsocial.com, sign up. We'll get you involved on the beta testing when that launches in a few weeks. And then we're going to launch fully in 22. It's going to be awesome.
By the way, if you have not gone to Truth Social, you need to do it. It's amazing to see that they're going to do this. And this is part of the reason why you've noticed Donald Trump has not been joining any other social networks that have popped up. And the reason is because he was creating his own. And we all knew this. It was pretty obvious. They're like, look, he's going to start his own. Get ready. He's going to start his own. And that is exactly what he is doing here. Now, one of the parts that Don Jr. said there that I think is so important is the fact that he says, look, we're going to talk about what the mainstream media is covering up. We're going to allow you to post things that are not going to be censored when it comes to vaccines and mandates and hydroxychloroquine and all of these different things that the social media big tech are silencing. We're going to have a grand debate because they have been biased for far too long.
It's amazing because they, the most extreme Ayatollahs or mullahs, they have a platform on Twitter. Your father's canceled. Let me add everything that we were talking about earlier with Kevin McCarthy and with Senator Kennedy. Afghanistan, preventable. The border, preventable. Energy independence, we had it. Joe gave it up. He's now begging OPEC. The economy, the supply chain disaster. More people dead in this country from COVID this year than last year. I don't see any more of those COVID counts on fake news, CNN or MSDNC, Don Jr.
No, 100%, because our news has been so biased for so long. Our social media platforms have been so biased for so long. As long as they're able to further their narrative, they will talk about it. The second the truth gets in the way of their narrative, all of a sudden it magically disappears. It's blacklisted. You won't see it anywhere. And that was a big part of why we wanted to create Truth Social. We want to make sure that these things get out there. You see it with big tech. You see it in the search engines. You look up a major topic and all you see is the CNN, MSNBC, yada, 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 the leftist narrative all the way down. You can never get to the other side of the story. And so we want to make sure that the other side of the story is finally heard.
Let me ask
you
this
listed,
question.
Sean, all of the disasters of this administration, and there's so many more. There's not a single success that anyone could point to, unless you're perhaps in China, in which case they're loving Joe Biden because he's doing a phenomenal job for the Chinese and their ambitions to take over the world.
Yeah, if you live in Russia, you're probably pretty happy, too, because Joe's policies are making Putin and Russia rich again. Interesting. Hunter made money from Russia and China and Kazakhstan and Ukraine, of course. And if the last name were Trump, I think it'd be a different story. All right. So the launch is in first quarter 2022. People can go to what website to sign up?
Yeah. Go to Truth Social. .com. You can sign up there, and in a couple of weeks, you're going to actually can be part of the beta testing of the site, and then you're going to have the full launch in early 2022, and we're finally going to push back against the tyranny of big tech.
I love it, by the way. This is right in time for the midterm elections. You notice this. Now, one of the reasons why this is so important is I'm going to give you a headline that's already been shut down from being shared on social media. NIH has come out and has contradicted Dr. Fauci, admitting that funding of gain-of-function research did happen and America paid for it at the Wuhan lab. We tried to share this article earlier on social media. We were not allowed to share it at all. The molecular biologist Richard Ebright has posted a letter from the NIH showing that an NIH grant did fund gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, contrary to what Dr. Fauci had testified to the Senate, which would mean that he lied. Fauci testified to senators at a hearing in May that the NIH had never, ever, and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, quote-unquote. However, the NIH's October 20th letter to House Oversight Committee ranking member James Comer, Republican, Kentucky, showed that the NIH grant, which was awarded to Echo Health Alliance and then subawarded to the Wuhan Lab, funded a research project during 2018 and 19 that tested, quote, if spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to the human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model, quote unquote. The letter added, quote, in this limited experiment, laboratory mice infected with the SHCO14 WIVI bat coronavirus became sicker than those infected with the WIV1 bat coronavirus. This is gain-of-function research, folks. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, quote-unquote, gain-of-function research is research that improves the ability of a pathogen to cause disease. Ebright tweeted that in the letter, the NIH corrects untruthful assertions by the NIH director, Collins, and the NIAID director, Fauci, that the NIH had not funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Translation, Dr. Fauci lied under oath to Congress. Will there be any ramifications for this? Now, this contradiction is on the Department of Health and Human Services letterhead, dated October 20th. In response to this request, again, the NIH, it is on paper, it has been delivered to Congress, corrects the untruthful assertion, I call that a lie, by the NIH Director Collins and the NIAID Director Fauci, that the NIH did not fund gain-of-function research in Wuhan. The NIH states that, again, Echo Health Alliance violated terms and conditions of the grant. Dr. Fauci lied to Congress. Will there be any accountability for this? Now, a lot of you may be seeing the headlines about Steve Bannon. They're going to vote in the full House. Breaking news headline, Steve Bannon is going to go to jail because he's refusing the subpoenas on the January 6th, and they're coming after him. They're going to vote on it, the full House, and they're going to pound him, and they're going to arrest him. He's saying executive privilege. Doesn't matter, right? We're going to nail him. We are going to nail Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, spawn of Satan. Steve Bannon is the worst person in the world. Steve Bannon helped orchestrate 9/11. I mean, January 6th, right? Because it's the equivalent if you listen to these guys. That's what the media is focusing on right now. Wonder why the media is not focusing on Dr. Fauci lying. Wonder why they're not going wall-to-wall with the NIH, saying Dr. Fauci lied, admitting funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab with your tax dollars, which is not supposed to happen. Technically, it's actually against the law. You remember Senator Rand Paul? Senator Rand Paul has not stopped talking and recounting every exchange with Dr. Fauci as he's been standing up to Dr. Fauci's lies and his lies on gain of function. Now, if we're going to go after Steve Bannon and we're going to put him in jail, then how is Dr. Fauci not in jail right now? I'm just using the same logic. Okay, now Bannon hasn't lied to Congress, by the way. Fauci apparently has. Bannon's just refusing to testify on January the 6th with a subpoena. And they're acting like he is a terrorist. I'm going to play for you some of this that's been put out by Senator Paul and remind you of some of those exchanges with Dr. Fauci. Take a listen.
Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Senator Paul, revisit that fire exchange with Dr. Fauci. Here's what he said.
The NIH definition of gain of function. And if he wanted to be a dispassionate scientist, if he wanted to be more level-headed, he could have tried to respond to the NIH definition and told us specifically how it doesn't apply. Instead, his emotions got the better of him.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individuals? I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
It's important for the public to know that Dr. Fauci is not a disinterested player. He's not objective. He has a self-interest in making sure that no one believes this came from the lab because he would have blame attached to him for funding that lab. Well, we gave him every chance to retract his statement or modify his statement. His statement was that the NIH has never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. The NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute.
So we showed him the evidence. The evidence is the research from 2017. In the paper that we presented by Dr. Shi, that is from a peer-reviewed journal, she actually acknowledges the funding and lists the actual routing number for the grant she got. So on the first question of whether or not the NIH funded Wuhan, without question they did. And there's a question of whether or not that continues to this day, whether it's going through a subsidiary, this Eco Health Alliance, whether or not they're still sending money to Wuhan. Jake Tapper halfway challenged him last week when he asked Dr. Fauci about, would you continue to do this? And Dr. Fauci's answer is, oh, we've always had safeguards and we will always have safeguards.
Given that the Chinese government won't allow any real investigation, do you still think the U.S. government should collaborate with labs like Wuhan, especially on research that experts consider risky?
Well, we have always been very careful, and looking forward, we will continue to be very careful in what we do.
He didn't answer the question, do you still trust the Chinese? Senator Kennedy asked him the same question in a hearing in the last couple weeks.
So you don't think the Chinese would lie to you?
And he dances around the subject. He's still for funding the lab in Wuhan. And the thing is, to me, that shows colossal lack of judgment. I mean, 4 million people have died. So we quoted a very specific paper to him from 2017 from Dr. Shi. So she took an unknown virus with unknown lethality, and she combined it with a known virus with a 15% mortality. And then she discovered that, yes, indeed, this new virus that she created in the lab could infect human cells and damage primate cells.
I go over this and I play it because I think it's important to understand what Dr. Fauci has actually said and what he said under oath and how he lied to the American people under oath. And now the NIH, and again, I can't even post this on social media. The NIH is now saying Fauci lied. They are contradicting Fauci. They are admitting funding to gain-of-function research of the Wuhan lab, which is exactly what Senator Rand Paul has been saying for about 9 months now. And he's laying out the case right now. So why is it that once the NIH says that this happened and Fauci testified to senators at a hearing in May that the NIH, quote, has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and now we know that is a lie, and now we know that on the letterhead of the Department of Health and Human Services, dated October 20th, 2021, in a letter to Congress, they are correcting the untruthful assertions by the NIH Director Collins and Dr. Fauci that the NIH had not funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan. How is Congress not losing their minds? And how is the media not covering this? I'll tell you exactly why, because they don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know the truth on any of this. Now, this goes back to what I was saying about why I'm so glad that we are seeing that there's going to be a new social media platform done by Donald Trump, because this is the only way we start getting this news out there. And when you hear things like this, I say it each and every day, please share it with your family and your friends. Give this information, share our podcast, and share this, because this is the stuff that literally you can't put on big tech. This is the stuff you cannot put out with big tech. They won't let you do it. And the media is now obsessed with Steve Bannon. Yeah, Steve Bannon should go to jail. We're going to vote in Congress on Steve Bannon going to jail because he's refusing a subpoena when he's saying, hey, executive privilege, folks. Same thing the president's saying, by the way. And they're like, oh, we're gonna show him. We're gonna stick him in jail. We're gonna charge him and stick him. We're gonna go get him and we're gonna arrest him. Dr. Fauci actually lied to Congress. We're gonna go arrest him? No. We're gonna talk about him? Of course not. Why would we do that? Because we have two sets of rules in this country. We have one set of rules for Republicans that we want to silence and shut up, and we have another set of rules for Democrats. And you can put anything out there you want in Congress. You can lie under oath and there will be no accountability. Fauci is proof of that. There's something really important actually happening in Congress right now that's totally related to Dr. Fauci. It's totally related to him lying to Congress. It's totally related to how you're having to live your life right now with mask mandates, vaccine mandates, losing your job. It's about the origins of COVID-19. And there is something going on right now that's a really big deal. We have a Chinese ambassador nominee who is going through confirmation right now. No one is covering this in the media. You will see nothing in the media about President Biden's nominee to be the ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns. Nicholas Burns is getting beat up a little bit, but the media is not going to show it to you either. Senator Johnson actually had a very interesting back and forth with the Chinese ambassador nominee, Nicholas Burns, for denying that the COVID-19 lab leak theory is something that we should really be looking at, right? Like, we should be looking at Wuhan. Should we even hold China accountable? Take a listen to this shocking back and forth that, again, the media, if you're looking at the mainstream media, they're not even telling you right now that President Biden has a nominee to be the ambassador to China. I would argue the most important ambassador right now with what's going on in the world. They're just not covering it at all.
Thank you. Senator Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ambassador Burns, thank you for your prior service and your willingness to serve in this capacity. I agree with you that if we act intelligently, the U.S. in concert with our allies in the West, we can compete with China. China, though, has advantages in terms of very long-term, very strategic thinking, authoritarian. They don't have the back and forth of elections, that type of thing. So they have utilized that long-term strategic thinking, while the West literally has not done much to counter their infiltration into our institutions, their stealing of our intellectual property since their entry into the WTO. And just like you to comment on how do we counter what they've done and how do we do that effectively?
Senator, thank you. I think it's a central question. We have to have a strategy to match China's strategy. I think that is beginning to develop over the last several years in the last three administrations, President Obama, President Trump, and President Biden. And as I said in my testimony, what distinguishes us and strengthens us is the fact that we have our alliance with Japan and our alliance with Australia and South Korea. And I've been involved in my past diplomatic career in intensive discussions with the Europeans. I think they're less united, perhaps, in the European Union right now, but I sense that the Europeans are shifting to understand the threat to them, as well as to us and our Indo-Pacific allies. So I think operating on an allied basis is the most important thing we can do. And sometimes that means we form institutions. So the Quad is an institution that both parties can be proud of. Republican and Democratic presidents have supported the Quad. And now President Biden is operationalizing at the head of government level, which we hadn't done before. AUKUS, three countries coming together. We need to build the institutions that are permanent, and that take this policy that we're discussing this morning into the 2030s, because the competition with China will be multi-decade.
Yeah, I do want to address specifically their infiltration into our university systems, the Confucius Institutes, their investment in things like medical journals. It really concerns me. You know, there is so much we don't know, for example, about the coronavirus, so much we don't know about COVID. I really do, and I really want to get your take on a real potential fault line when we start learning more. For example, about the origin theory. I mean, I don't know whether it was lab leak, whether it's natural origin.
Listen very carefully. Senator Johnson is being very strategic with the most important Biden nominee so far for the ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns. And Senator Johnson is not trying to put him in a corner. He's being very strategic. He says, I don't know if it's lab leak or natural origins. But what I do know is it came from China. What I do know is they've been lying to us. And I want you to listen to how quickly this ambassador, this nominee to ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns, defends China.
People are starting to look into that. Obviously, there was a cover-up here for 18 months. And as a result, gave China really good head start at bearing evidence. But back in March of 2020, you participated in a virtual event at Harvard's Kennedy Center, and you definitely were critical of China, saying that this was, you know, an army exercise. But at the same time, you're very critical of President Trump for calling it the Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus. You said that we all know that's wrong. We all know that's racist. We all know that's not true. I guess I'm kind of wondering, how did you know? We still don't know. How are you so positive that this wasn't a lab leak theory? And have you changed your mind? Have you seen other evidence that would at least open up your mind to that prospect? Because if it is determined that it probably was not a natural origin and this did leak from a lab in Wuhan, that will have very serious geopolitical repercussions between our relationship with China.
Thank you, Senator. I want to agree with you briefly on the issue of students and exchanges. We ought to welcome Chinese students into the United States, but student visas are not a right. They have to be earned. Our laws have to be observed. There are some Chinese student applicants who have ties to the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, and China's intelligence services, and we should turn them down for visas. And we have to be clear about that. But we also have 375,000 students in our universities and secondary schools in your state, in my state, at my university, and we are better off having them in this country to learn about our democracy. On the coronavirus, the problem here is with China. The Chinese government withheld information very clearly from their own people and the rest of the world for about a month in late December and January of 2020. I have consistently criticized the Chinese government for that, and they deserve to be criticized. And they've been stonewalling all of us around the world since January of 2020, including this week when they refused to act to work with the World Health Organization's new investigative body to answer the question that you rightfully asked.
But again, my question is, are you still so certain that lab leak is off the table? Because you were very certain back then. You said it was, we all know that's not true. Have you changed your thinking on that? Because I think it's important if you're going to be ambassador to China that you have a more open mind on this than you exhibited back in March of 2020.
So, Senator, I spoke often about this issue of U.S.-China relations at that period of time. And I believe that that quote from the Kennedy School event was directed to President Trump's use of the term Wuhan virus, which I did not think would be effective with the Chinese government or Chinese people or people around the world. It had nothing to do with the origins of the crisis of the pandemic. My position has been all along and continues this day, we need to investigate. We don't know how this virus originated for sure. There are multiple theories.
That's, by the way, not what he just said a moment ago. This is going to be our ambassador. This is going to be our ambassador to China, and this dude is defending China more than he's defending the United States of America. You'd think this would make national news, right? Nominee for ambassador to China defends China's actions on coronavirus. There's a good headline for you. That will never be published. Why? Because they don't want to talk about it. This guy's nothing but a puppet for China. Nothing but a puppet for China. You'd think that'd be a news story. Nope. Not going to talk about it. Mayor Pete, by the way, coming out just wanting you to know about the no end in sight for the catastrophic failed leadership of the Biden administration at this crisis, this disaster with the Biden supply chain issues. Mayor Pete has come out saying, quote, there will be supply chain issues as long as there's a pandemic. That's just the way it's going to be. Well, that's not actually true, but whatever. He's like, hey, as long as there is a pandemic that includes COVID problems in other countries, get used to it, not having the things you need. He went on CNBC's Squawk Box. The transportation secretary said, quote, hey, look, this is just going to persist as long as this pandemic continues. Things happen around the world. I mean, if a shoe factory closes in Vietnam in September for a COVID outbreak, you're going to see the effects of that at the mall in December or January. He went on to say, well, look, we're seeing goods move through our system and reach shelves at record levels. That's not true. The issue, again, is the demand is so high. Retail sales are going really off the charts high. That's our system. And it's just straining to keep up. Now, last week at the White House, he said, the leadership of places like Walmart, Target, Home Depot, talking about their commitments to making sure that inventory gets to the shelves. We're also talking about the key ground logistic companies trying to work on that. We're 8,000, by the way, truckers short right now. And this dude wants you to just accept this as, hey, lower the bar, folks. There's going to be a lot of crap you're not going to get your hands on. Lower the bar. Lower the bar, okay? Washington Post helping out right now. Opinion article came out by them that actually reads, quote, don't rant about short-staffed stores and supply chain woes. Try to lower expectations. That's an actual headline from the Washington Post. Don't rant about short-staffed stores and supply chain woes. Try to lower your expectations. So in other words, this Biden administration is now actually telling the American people, get over it and lower your expectations. Because if you'll just do that, if you'll just lower your expectations, then you won't be so upset. You won't be upset then, folks. Lower your expectations. lower your expectations with our ambassador, lower your expectations for Christmas, lower your expectations for accountability about you funding gain of function research and Fauci lying to you. Just lower your expectations. If you do, then you'll like this administration. Oh, and by the way, we're going to move to vaccinate all your kids 5 to 11 years old, and we're going to harass them in their schools until you do what we tell you to do. It's fine. Biden-Harris, 2024, lower your expectations. That's basically what they're telling you to do right now. That should be their campaign slogan. Make sure you share this podcast with your family and friends. Help others see it and share it right now. And I'll see you back here tomorrow as we continue to fight back and tell you about the headlines and the news stories that the liberal media refuses to tell you about. So please share this podcast right now. Subscribe. It is free. And help us keep fighting. I'll see you back here tomorrow.